Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue. And I didn't realize we were going on air, but go ahead.
Sometimes I got to surprise ZD, you know?
She surprised me.
Surprise. Today, we're going to talk about free motion stitching. I don't want to call it free motion quilting because we'll talk about free motion.
Because we don't always do it to quilt.
Not
we
always.
Do it for other reasons.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it is, of course, a wonderful thing to do for quilting. But free motion can be used for all sorts of things. So anyway, free motion stitching is what we're going to be talking about today. And let's start off with telling the public, okay, what free motion stitching is. What the heck? Because I remember vividly.
Let's tell the sewing public, not the public.
The public.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean.
Also.
Yeah.
I guess I want to say, I know a lot of you already know what this is. Okay. Sorry if that sounded like I'm assuming you don't know what free motion is. However, I remember that
some people don't know.
No, some people don't.
Yeah.
But I remember being like 15 years old. And learning what free motion was, and you were telling me about this new device that Bernina had come out with, okay, the Bernina Stitch Regulator. And you were like, yeah, it's the free motion foot. And I was like, what? And you're like, yeah, you can go backwards and forwards and side to side. And I was like, excuse me. I mean, it flew in the face of everything I knew.
Well, and that particular thing was also supposed to keep your stitches consistent.
So people were doing this long before that.
Right.
But you had never, it had never come up in my sewing.
I was not a quilter.
Right.
I mean, I did free motion, and I would do it to garments or do it for some sort of embellishment, but it was not something. I did not sit down and free motion an entire king size quilt.
Right. But I was like, my mind was blown, and I was like, show me what you mean. I was just so excited. Okay.
Right.
So if you're unfamiliar, like, let's all get excited together about free motion. So you do with free motion, you can move any which where with the sewing machine.
That's true.
Right?
You can back up over yourself.
Do whatever you want. So the thing that normally provides you with your stitch formation, there are lots of things that provide it for you, but one of the big things are your feed dogs.
Right. Your feed dogs keep you going in one direction, right?
Or the other.
And feed your fabric, hopefully at some consistent pace.
That's right. So, you know, forming like your basic straight stitch, you know, your needle's got to go up and down, but also your feed dogs need to be moving your fabric so that your needle can go up and down.
So the foot on top is pressing down on the fabric, right?
Yep.
And it sort of has it like, what would you say, pinched between the pinched might not be a good word.
Pinch isn't
but there's pressure.
Yeah.
You know, when your foot goes down, the fabric puts pressure on those feed dogs so that those feed dogs can take those teeth and pull it.
Right. So your needle's just going up and down.
Right.
But your feed dogs make it so it goes up and down in a different place on the fabric.
That's right.
Each
it moves
time,
the fabric.
Right. And nowadays we have feed dogs that also move side to side.
Yes.
To create big multi-motion
stitches. And into the four corners also.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to move fabric diagonally, actually.
Yes.
So that is something that happens. And when you
and
that's
just in the last two decades that has happened.
That's kind of another ball of wax
for home
too.
Machines.
Yes. Yeah, little bit of a different thing. But when you free motion, you drop or disengage, however this is, you know, put forth in your manual. You drop those feed dogs.
So they're no longer hugging that fabric.
Nope. And then you are in charge of moving your fabric. Okay?
So now you have become...
You are the regulator.
Well, you're basically drawing now.
You are the feed dog.
You are the dog.
You are the dog feeding.
And you are... You are the artist, and you are drawing with your thread.
So most of the time, in order to get a nice result from this, you need to use a special foot, okay?
Right.
There's going to be...
And for safety reasons also.
Yes.
You can use no foot.
Oh, that's so true.
And then there's nothing to stop your little pinky from going under that needle.
Also, yeah, okay, so... And
or holding the fabric down, too, because the fabric is going to flag a little bit.
Called flagging. So there is something that's sold called a spring needle.
Right.
So this is kind of... So free motion feet that we're going to talk about oftentimes have a spring on them. But this needle that is sold, you don't put a presser foot on your machine at all. You take that all that jazz away, the ankle and everything, and you put this spring needle on. And when the needle goes down, when the needle bar on your machine goes down into the fabric, that spring meets it and hopefully will prevent flagging, which means the fabric goes up
When you say the fabric's flagging, it is lifting up and off of, you know, the bed of the machine.
Yeah.
It's not staying down, which is what the foot generally does.
Yes.
Keeps it down on top of those feed dogs.
And it's essential because you can then, like, get things tangled to where your needle's going through the fabric multiple times and it's sewn itself to the fabric and it's terrible and scary. I'd say let's just go ahead and tell you all to use a foot. It's probably not going to be your standard presser foot that's recommended for this.
That's correct.
Nowadays.
Because you actually, here's the other thing, you actually do lower your foot.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you do want your tension disc engaged, holding the top thread. But that foot will not meet the feed dogs and is usually just a little bit higher and off the bed.
That's right. So free motion feet, like I said, sometimes they have a spring in them. They can look a lot like your machine embroidery foot, if that's something that you're...
Looks like a little circle, a little donut.
Familiar with.
Sometimes a little C, it looks like.
But the way that your standard presser foot hooks onto your machine and everything, it's actually a little too close, like Mom said, to the bed of the machine for you to be able to move the fabric around freely for free motion. So you will not be as successful if you try to free motion with your standard presser foot. It's not going to be a pretty sight. And I know this because one time I sent somebody home with an embroidery machine after a full... I don't know. I spent 3 hours with this guy.
Okay. He had embroidered a thousand times before.
He was embroidering.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on.
This does not look
this
right.
This is a well-educated man.
I mean, we'll say who it is. He's the voice at the beginning of our podcast.
Voice that says it's the Sewing Out Loud.
Yeah, I kind of forget that Frank did
our
intro.
Frank.
Dr. Frank, he's like, this
Just don't let him do surgery on you because he'll use the wrong presser foot.
He's like, Mallory, this does not look right. You know, and I said, are you using your sewing foot to embroider? He's like, oh my God. I know.
And he had had this machine for a while. It was just a lapse in his mind, whatever.
He was super, it was funny.
Yes.
It was a funny thing. We all make funny
mistakes. He was humiliated.
Yeah, it was good. Okay, so anyway, it's not going to look as good. So when you're free motioning, your needle's just going up and down, and you move the fabric.
Right.
That is how machine embroidery works, right? When you hook up the embroidery unit and you put your hooped fabric under there, that embroidery unit is moving.
It is programmed to let the needle punch it in specific places.
Yes. So when you are drawing, it's like you're moving the paper instead of the pen.
Right.
Okay. On a home machine. I guess we get into long arm quilters.
Yeah, long arms, you actually get to move the needle.
Different story.
Right. You don't move the fabric, you move the machine.
Yes.
On your home machine, your regular sewing machine, you move the fabric and not the machine. Now, I have seen people try and move the machine, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so your feet are special. This is why I just wanted to explain
that. Look how special my feet are.
Your feet are so special.
Do they look special? I can point them, flex them. I can do lots with them.
Everyone is special. And this is where, with free motion feet, I know that there are companies out there that sell like universal feet or generic feet. And like they might be working fine for you in some instances. really double check with like your dealer or with somebody about what free motion foot you should be using, because the height of the foot and the settings of the machine are so important. So two of the free motion feet that we have right here in our hands, what we're holding right now are the Echo Quilting feet. And they actually, they don't have a spring to them at all. And this is a baby lock foot. And this Echo Quilting foot, what you have to do is you have to take the ankle off of the machine as well as the presser foot, okay? And this foot screws on to the presser foot bar, okay? And a lot of times when I was selling machines to people, they'd be like, oh, can I use that Echo Quilting foot on my, like, it's like a lower machine, maybe
lower in the line.
Lower in the line, like the Brilliant, which is a wonderful freaking machine. But to my knowledge, at this point, it actually can't use this foot, because all you do when you set that machine to free motion is lower the feed dogs. But on some of the higher end machines, when you say, hey, I'm free motioning, it also electronically adjusts the presser bar.
Right.
Okay. So I've had people come in and they will put on a free motion foot onto their machine and think it's going to work, and it's way too tight down.
Right. It's so to it the bed does of the machine. It is no longer free.
Yes, it doesn't it doesn't work.
It's so too tight to the bed of the machine.
You really need to know that this is a foot that's recommended for your machine. If you have a machine like the Verve, it used to be the Sophia, and you have that embroidery foot, that machine embroidery foot, that can
and sometimes be a darning used. There's a darning foot that will work.
Yes, a darning foot will work. So actually, you can go that way. However, if you have an embroidery machine that also comes with a free motion foot, make sure to use your embroidery foot, not your free motion foot, because they are different.
That's true.
Okay, so these feet have springs on them, because as you sew, they can hop a little bit.
Right.
And they're actually feet called hopping feet in the long arm quilter world, okay, where they kind of hop and make sure that the fabric isn't flagging up over the needle, okay? Some free motion feet, you do need to be careful about. Some of them will have a slot that allows for movement of the needle side to side, or for the needle to straight stitch in any position, like all the way to the left, all the way to the right, blah, 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 blah. But there is, there are free motion feet that just have one hole.
And it's a tiny little hole, sort of like what you would think on a straight stitch.
Yes,
foot.
it's like the straight stitch and foot it,
and
of free
it's
motion.
For that reason, to hold it, you know, specifically there and hold that fabric neatly there.
And it can be used with that straight stitch plate. So I actually really like the look of the baby lock one. It's this itty bitty little foot. It just looks
it
looks like a piece of jewelry.
Yeah, it
okay,
does.
It looks like a charm.
Yeah.
And it has that little hole, and it's just very precise. And you can see that if you used it with the straight stitch plate that just has the single hole there, that you'd get so much support around your fabric, 360 degrees, you know, on top and on bottom. But don't you move your needle to the left or choose the left oriented straight stitch.
Needles,
I mean, you
can,
but it'll break off onto your throat plate. So you need to choose the foot that's right for your machine. Oh, and then just another little aside in case you're using a baby lock. Sometimes these free motion feet need another little adapter. Okay. And it came with your machine, and you don't have to call your dealer and get mad because this little adapter came with your machine, and you use it for the Echo Quilting foot. And I believe also for that little single hole free motion foot. So when you think of free motion quilting, I think people think a lot of the straight stitch, but you can technically choose any stitch. It's just not going to look like anything, right? So if you choose a zigzag stitch and the needle's moving side to side, you can sort of, as you move it free motion, you get like a calligraphy look, right? Like a pen nib.
Like on your baby pillow?
Yeah, that is. Well, that's all satin stitched, though. You didn't, like, move
side to side.
You know what I mean?
I guess I didn't free motion that.
Yeah. So you can get that. And so you can use a zigzag stitch if you want to. You know, check that out. I think that a teacher we used to bring in, Karen Landuska, she would use some of the decorative stitches just to get, like, a random looking straight, you know, a random looking free motion pattern that wasn't straight. You know, it might not be everybody's cup of tea. It was more of an art quilting technique. But generally, you are using a straight stitch and then creating your own shapes when you're doing this. And then we generally use this in kind of, personally, in non-traditional ways, right? So tell me about how you used it.
Well, I just want to tell me what was the year that we made all of those. We made the stationery and then the three-pocket thing.
Well,
when was that?
That would have been 2008. Yep.
Ish,
2009. Because it was my second year of college.
So Mallory was going to go to Europe for extended time, and she needed to take, you know, hostess gifts. And what are you going to pack? You have to pack this, and, you know, you're trying not for it to be heavy and all this and unique, and it had to cross language barriers or whatever, or cultural barriers or whatever. So we made a thing that we called the Free Motion three-pocket
bag.
And it's like a envelope. So
clutch.
I'd
call it an envelope clutch.
And we free motion this fabric, and then we do this like origami thing to it and put a button on it, and it's got pockets. And then we made stationery to go in it. So we packed up, I don't know, 6 or 7 of these.
Yeah, because so I was dating this guy who lived in Serbia, and he was studying here. And so then I was going to go visit him over the summer before visiting then another friend and then studying abroad. So I was going to be gone for a long time. And I was bringing these gifts, like, to the families who were hosting me. And so we made like 10
But they didn't weigh a lot. They were soft. They weren't going to break, you know, and everybody writes. So it worked.
And people really like them. And the other thing, so I wanted to talk about that. We're using these in kind of non-traditional ways.
Right.
Okay. We would often free motion over a very textured surface. Mm-hmm. And so this Echo Quilting free motion foot that I'm holding right now, it kind of looks like a saucer.
It does.
Okay.
It looks like a plate, like a saucer.
So we had like fused down like Angelina fibers and I had felted stuff and done all this weird stuff. And then I went to free motion over it. And that little itty bitty one hole foot wasn't really appropriate because the fibers could get caught up in that foot, or the foot caught up in the fibers. Yeah,
this is very good at smoothing the
it's like a
surface snowplow. Out.
Yeah.
It like smooths the surface out before you get to it.
Yes. So we that's another thing that might influence which foot you're using.
Right.
There's also an open toe free motion foot. It looks like a C where it's very open so you can really see where you're going, except that would also catch
would
on all those
caught.
Fibers.
Right.
So for that project, you know, so that's why you might want some different free motion feet for that. But let's take a little break and come back and talk about some other uses. Zeedee, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your head. Oh, yeah, the head, definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it will
right.
be accurate.
Right.
Right?
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers, or they themselves use it for their customers, or it was a male trainer and a female client. He didn't have to put his hands on the person or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure
from the zero end.
Yes. Right. Right. And I said 60, but, you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So
yeah.
you've got...
you have imperial. And you... have metric.
Right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one, because if somebody sees it, a husband or a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this like in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to like send away to college with people, things like that.
Where
you want something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
Okay, let's back up a little bit. Talk about kind of the most traditional use of the free motion foot, stippling.
Okay.
Tell me about stippling.
I would say it's when you see something that is quilted, free motion, and it looks like little puzzle pieces together.
That's a very good description of it.
Okay, so it's like this little random pattern. And generally, everyone's will have a certain character to it. Like, if you get used to seeing someone's, you'll know it's theirs.
Yeah.
Like their humps are the same or their bumps are the same or so. I don't know.
And
it's kind of funny, you know.
You can do like really tight stippling and do like more open stippling.
And oftentimes the stippling is maybe done around something else.
Yes.
So it could be like a background. Like, so you've got, I don't know, a printed flower on your quilt or something, or a star that you've made out of patchwork or so, and you might not stipple it, but you would stipple around it
to give that like,
or on the sashing or something
look.
Like that. Right.
Okay, so when I was learning about free motion, I didn't have a quilter as a mentor, right? I had like, you know, mom.
Me.
Oh, just had crummy old Zadie. So I was just doing whatever the heck I wanted. And then we went to like machine training and they were like, well, of course, you don't want your stippling to ever cross over itself.
Right, it can't cross
and
over.
Blah,
that's
blah,
a,
blah.
That is a, like a big rule.
No, it's a big
rule.
And I was like, oh, excuse me, you know? And so then we would have like, then we had to practice with like a dry erase board of how we'd get ourselves out of corners and stuff, and I was like, well, this is not fun. I am not having a good time. This is taking all of the fun out of this. So I did like a thread painted portrait of Marilyn Monroe, of course,
and it didn't look like anybody else's
project. Like, excuse me, you know. And so I was just like, you know, doing whatever the heck
so
I
what
wanted.
Mallory is talking about, we're going from stippling
to
thread painting. Now
there's
something in between, which is called like the free motion, like there are feathers, there are flowers.
Oh, yeah.
So I used to do this
motifs.
Right. I used to do this thing that it was like two leaves, a swirl, and then a flower, and then the two leaves and the swirl, and then the flower. And I like taught myself this, and I stuck with that for about 10 years.
Okay.
I mean, I could do it in any size you wanted, but ever. But that was like my signature free motion thing was my two leaves, my flower, my swirl, my two leaves, my flower, my swirl. And I repeated that in a random pattern. You know, I would go up and down. And I did not cross over.
And there are people who can just do, they can duplicate these feathers or these stippling.
Right.
And it is so fun
to
watch.
See waves.
Yes.
I mean, you know, there's a,
yes.
And there are also stencils that you can use. You can draw on your, you know, your project first.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of, I mean, like,
things
I think about the chalking and all that.
There's the chalking, and then there are some of those, like, rulers that go with the free motion.
Yeah, there's
foot.
Ruler that you can actually stick like, under your foot
which
and go for it, which is to me not free motion anymore, but it looks like
well,
free motion.
Well, but there's no feed guns.
It's a guide. Right, it's a guide. You're still moving the fabric. So you go from that to Mallory making a portrait
of
Marilyn Monroe.
And that
we would call thread painting.
Yes, and I also like to do thread painting, for some reason for a while there, and I have these like things that I did. I would felt something on the felting machine and then I would free motion over it with these like curly Q looking things.
Yeah, I was into that too.
You know, and I would do do some of it with machine embroidery thread and then some of it with metallic thread. I loved free motioning with metallic
thread.
And
this is the other thing with the free motion. You can pick your thread.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a quilting thread, a variegated thread, a metallic thread, you know, on and on and on.
Put them on top of each other right. if you want. You know, so you can do...
two machine embroidery threads, through one needle, all kinds of stuff.
When you thread paint, you know, you can start from the ground up, or you can start with, like, some kind of quilting collage technique where you're, like, fusing things, or right. a fabric that has a pattern on it, and you right. can go off of that. There are just... the sky is the limit. But maybe we should talk a little bit about materials now, like needles and threads. Or do you have something else to add before we go on to that?
You can go ahead. I can always interrupt.
Okay.
I can't think of anything.
Yeah, so if you... right it, you know, it all... the free motion is such a large... And you can do so much stuff. You can technically free motion on whatever you want, you know. But you're going to use a needle that's appropriate to your fabric and your thread. And you might find with free motion, since that thread can get pulled any direction, okay, that you might need a slightly larger needle.
You usually want a good eye size in your needle, yes.
Yeah, than you needed before. And there right. are quilting needles, and that is one thing that they can help with. They have a bit of a larger eye. And so... as you're moving things around, there's a bit more stress on that thread.
Right. And that's part of the technique of learning, too, is how hard to pull. And you know.
Okay, that's what we haven't talked
it's
about
It's all
yet.
About, right, it's all about the speed of the machine and the speed of your hands and the motion of your hands. And, like, you know, it is something you have to practice.
Okay, so here's Here's the kicker. This is what's hard about it. This is why it is a technique that is, you know, sought after right. or, you know, people work to master it. So you are the feed dogs. So if you move, if you don't have your machine.
You are the feed dogs and the embroidery hoop.
Yes, you're everything. Yes. So what people would often strive for is very even stitches.
Right.
Okay. So that people would often go too slow with the machine and move the fabric too fast. Well, that gets you big stitches and sometimes broken needles.
Right.
Okay. Or they go too fast with the machine. Too slow with the fabric. That gets you too short of stitches.
Right.
And thread buildup, maybe some more broken needles. So you have to find this kind of like mid, you have to find a rhythm.
Right.
Okay.
You have to find like your driving speed.
Yes.
And, you know, you gotta maintain it.
And you have to, you know, you have to set yourself up for success. So it's best to start practicing free motion. We would make ourselves quilt sandwiches,
right?
Sometimes,
or those three pocket
bags.
Envelopes,
yeah, those
are the
great
greatest thing in the world because they're just a big square, and you then origami them yes. into something.
Well, that's definitely going to be a ZigZagger live broadcast. So, we'd make ourselves quilt sandwiches and work on a small scale. And something you can, a product that can help you. I have no idea what it's called now, but we'll figure it out. It used to be called the Supreme Slider.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was like a Teflon mat you could put on your sewing machine, mm-hmm. an extension table to give yourself a larger area around your sewing machine. That's always really helpful. And you put that mat down so that your fabric moves freely in every direction.
Now, some people also wear gloves. So like a latex glove or one of those
grippy
pebble
glove.
Grippy gloves to hold onto the fabric. I never really needed that. There's also those frames you can sort of buy that lay on the, you know. So there are tools to make this easier or not. Now, the other thing is when you're doing this, you are going... Mallory's talking about a quilt sandwich, and you do need something that's fairly substantial like that.
Yep.
So if you want to go on something that's thinner or floppier, you may have to put a stabilizer under
it. Yep. Yeah. Stabilizer will help.
Now, it doesn't particularly have to be a quilt sandwich.
No, it doesn't.
You know, it doesn't have to be a piece of fabric with batting and then another piece of fabric. It can be something else. It can be a piece of canvas that you felted a bunch of stuff on or whatever and put other stuff on. You know, as long as it can be sort of handled as a piece.
Okay, so for a while there in sewing machine land, in sewing machine technology land, there was a big push to get a stitch regulator going in the home sewing machine. So I think the first one that came out was that BSR.
It was, I believe. I think it was Bernina's.
Yeah, the first.
There were... others, but they were not like that. That actually, that stitch regulator actually worked with you. It had an electric eye that followed the speed of movement.
The movement of the fabric.
Right.
Baby Lock came out with one where it had a sensor on it, you know, and things like that. So what it's trying to do is sense how fast you're moving the fabric.
Right.
And then adjust the machine to that.
Right.
Okay.
And basically it had like a governor on it. So if you went too fast, it would beep and a red... Yep. The light would go off or on, or I can't remember. But
flash at you.
It would tell you, beep, beep, you're going too fast. Right. So you would know to slow down.
Right. And so it would, you know, attempt to sense the movement of the fabric. And I, got to watch our quilting teacher teach a lot of classes on this. And really what it came down to is she said that if you get enough practice in, and it's not too terribly much practice, but that you could really get it down without needing one of those.
I felt like if you could let the stitch regulator almost teach you.
And then,
because it, you know, with that governor on it, was like, slow down, ZD, too fast.
Right.
So I knew how to free motion before I got that.
Yeah.
I think it helped me improve a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, yes, I free motion by myself.
So it depends on how long I'm going to free motion, but I will use the foot control on the baby lock to like press down like I'm sewing and move my fabric. But then sometimes if I'm doing a larger piece or I'm really in the groove, I will unplug the foot control and just use the start stop button and put it on like high medium. And I know that I can handle that. So you'll find, some different tips out there, you know, for how to train yourself on this, but it's a lot of fun just to try.
But there are people who really know how to do this.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Mallory
and I do this. This is like our side. It's our side job.
This is a fun thing that we, and so we're not like, we are not the people who you'd go to if you want the perfect free motion.
We used to hire someone to teach this.
Yes.
Right.
But I like doing my little free motion over felt and, you know, doing my, you know, fun things with it, my thread painting and stuff like that. It's a nice tool to have in your toolbox. So, that's good disclaimer, Mom. There are people who really know how to do this.
They don't call it a side job now. What do they call it?
Side hustle.
A side hustle. Yeah. It's mainly my side hustle.
A side hustle.
That we don't make any money at.
No.
Not at all.
It's just
this is not something that Mallory could monetize out of me.
I mean, I could probably monetize it up to a point by myself. Like, you know.
Yeah, no.
Well, have you seen the people out there on the internet?
Well, that's true.
Come on.
Never mind.
But the basics of free motion, you know, are that there are no feet.
That you're the motion.
You're the motion. But getting into this, people would often say, oh, it's good to have a glass of wine. And I have to tell you that.
Not for me.
Not for me either.
No, I need to be in control.
I need to be sober.
Yeah.
I would get way too flush.
Some people think chocolate helps them. That was something that would go on.
Mm-hmm. It was a very, and some people really love doing it. And some people just hate it. They're just like, I don't want to let loose, or I don't think that this is rewarding enough, you know, to do. But I will say that once you get into the swing of things, it's not too bad. I was not as much of a fan of the traced out patterns.
Right. No,
that's hard.
I just wanted to go loose.
Yeah, no, it's hard to follow a pattern and everything. And you kind of have to figure out how you're going to move this whole thing, you know. But it is kind of the precursor to not the precursor, that's not really the right word, but like this is how machine embroidery used to work.
This is how we used to free motion machine embroidery. And what we did is we set a satin stitch on our machine, and then we started moving the fabric.
Yes.
It was really hard.
Hard to be accurate. Hard to be, you
know. You got good at it.
I mean, if you were going
to
do.
And generally, like a lot of times on that, it wasn't uncommon to draw it out first.
Yes.
You know, and then you painted it. But you know, it took a lot. Got better at it, but you were filling in the stitches too. Yeah. So it took a lot.
So that's what people now sort of call thread painting.
Yes.
Okay. Now that we
a
have
a bit more.
The machine
embroidery. Thread painting is a very broad thing, I think.
Yes.
Because it's any time, you know, you let loose on that sewing machine and do what you want to do.
There are free motion techniques that capitalize on, like, variegated threads.
Yes.
Or on layering colors. Mm-hmm. We were just looking at that Libby Lehman book mm-hmm. called Thread Play. She does kind of this, like, ribbon work look. And she will layer threads of different colors, but she also, I know somewhere in the book she says this because I remember reading it a long, long, long time ago, but she would like watch the variegated thread come down off
yes!
the spool.
And decide like, where she was going to go.
I want yellow on this side and yes. green on that side and yellow on
I
this
remember,
side. And I was like, whoa.
No. I remember her saying that.
Yeah.
I remember her saying that. Now I know the yellow's coming down. And I'm like,
excuse
oh my
me.
God.
And,
oh my God, it was gorgeous.
No, I mean, she is like super. Yeah.
It's like, well, I'll do this little like beginner technique you have and I really like it and I'm really good at it and I can make it look good, but I'm not watching my thread.
And now the whole thing about like variegated thread is that they're dyeing it so that it's not predictable.
That's right.
Like, that's the new thing that it's not.
Right. It's not red, orange, green, red, orange, green.
Yes.
It's like blah, 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 blah,
like,
blah.
Oh,
yeah.
You don't know how long of a green thing you're going to get.
Right.
So it's like Libby, I'm sure, can handle that. I can.
Well, actually, I think they make it both ways now.
Yeah. Oh, sure. But I'm looking over here at these silky blendables, you know.
Right.
So I've free motioned with, I would recommend free motioning. What do I want to say? I'm looking over at our thread stand here. And we have like top stitching thread. Mm-hmm. And you can free motion, of course, with top stitching thread, but you need a big old top stitching needle, and I think it's more challenging.
I would recommend that when you're beginning to use a thread that was similar in color to the surface you were on.
Well,
don't go contrasting till you got it down a little bit better.
I remember.
And then you won't be so disappointed.
I remember our quilting teacher, too, recommending the Floriani machine embroidery
mm-hmm,
thread
right.
for the beginning free motion
really
class.
It. Yeah.
Because it was a lightweight thread that mm-hmm. was super strong.
Yes.
So these people, I mean, when I say these people, I mean like me at 1.2, were like jerking their fabric around because they didn't know what they're doing at first. And that thread was a little bit more forgiving. Whereas if you start with like, I'm looking at the Silky Blendables, it's 100% cotton thread. If you go nutso with that and you've jerked it around or something, it is a little more likely to break.
You mean when you were in one of those classes where Gina said, well, feel free to compliment me.
This is, okay, so that wasn't a free motion class, but
no,
it was
a quilting class.
It was a quilting class,
class
at
was.
The shop. It was a wonderful, what do I want
no,
to say?
No, I was in it too.
A special day.
Yeah, that was a special day.
A prodigious, like a... What I there's a word that I'm losing it right now. A very auspicious day.
Yes.
There we go. The feel free to compliment me day. I shared that with somebody who's completely outside of the sewing universe. The other day,
I think you need
to say is feel free to compliment me, and they were like, okay.
So Ellery, I think you should share it again in case someone doesn't know what that is.
Okay, well, just in case you're out of the loop.
Well, you might not. They might not be listening to the podcast out
right.
of order
this
or
is
whatever.
Your first time.
Not know the history of feel free to compliment me.
One time we were in class, and Gina was an employee of like a part time employee. She, you know, she'd work sometimes, and. She
was our, like, Tuesday woman.
Yeah. She used to be, like, a stay-at-home mom, and her kids were getting older, and she was sewing. And so then she was, you know, in the shop for a few hours every week. And she was in class with our quilting teacher, and I hear our quilting teacher giving her instruction. And then she's like, okay, well, just feel free to compliment me at any time is what I hear. And I'm like, what did you just say? And she, you know, I was like, did you just tell Linda to feel free to compliment you at any time? And she was like, no. I said, feel free to correct me. But we took it from there. And there's an enamel pin.
There was wine at this class, I believe.
Gina does like wine. And maybe she did say feel free to compliment
me. And she just didn't remember.
But that is, it's a hashtag FFTCM.
So ever since then, yes. It's like, feel free to compliment me.
Feel free to compliment me. Feel free
so
to
So you
compliment
can post
me.
Anything on sewhere.com or the self-sewn wardrobe, and you can say, you know, here's my blouse, here's my project, here's my, and feel free to compliment me, hashtag.
That's right, FFTCM. Right. And then we'll compliment you, and like we said on the last podcast, we will not give unsolicited feedback.
That's
we will
right.
just compliment
no, we'll only
you.
Only compliment
Because sometimes
you.
All you want are compliments, and
That's
that
right.
is fine. Okay, that is A-okay. I only want compliments most of the time. All right, I don't want to hear it. Okay, so with free motion though, so slightly bigger needle than you
yes.
normally have, and do yes, or even
and start out with the thread. You know that's going to be the easiest
the
for
most
you.
Forgiving.
Right.
You could even start out with construction, like the metrazine.
Yeah.
It's not as pretty.
Right. I would say the polyester Floriani.
The Floriani is good.
Was really nice.
It was really affordable, and it was on a cone.
Yeah.
Not a huge cone, but it was like a lot of thread to
right.
play with.
Right.
Whereas the thicker cotton thread, you know, there just weren't as many. Right.
Well, and the cotton thread really does drag more in the needle.
No, you get more breakage
yeah.
with it. You
yeah.
do. You do. For sure. So, yeah, those. I'll post a picture of the journal that I, like, made myself with the felted stuff because I just found it the other day. So that was my kick on the felting and the free motioning. All right. Well, like we said, there are people who actually know how to do this. And we'll try to link to a few of them. We think that you should give it a shot. Maybe if you're looking for a little something to fill your days. You can get to us on Instagram. We're at SewHereCom. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.